Inspectors from the United Nations arrived today in Iraq. It's been 4 years since they were shut out of the country. During that time, weapons experts have been forced to look outside Iraq for signs that Saddam Hussein has rebuilt his arsenal. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports that it's been a poor substitute for on-site inspections.
Engineer Chuck Willingham is trying to save the world from nuclear terror. Willingham teaches at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory near Hanford, Washington, America's nuclear city. This month, his students are border guards and customs agents from Kazakhstan. They're learning to recognize uranium pellets, nuclear fuel assemblies, and other tools of the nuclear trade so they can catch smugglers.
They have a difficult job because they're also looking for drugs, conventional weapons, and other equipment. And now in the last 5 to 10 years or so, they're being asked to also look at both radioactive materials and detect that across the borders, as well as dual-use equipment.
Dual-use items are ambiguous, things that might run a photocopy machine but also could detonate a nuclear bomb. A border guard must recognize them and the paperwork that goes with them to know if they're legally traded. Willingham says nuclear dual-use items have been intercepted in the past 2 years on their way to the Middle East. He can't give details except to say that investigators set up sting operations.
Most of the times there's a lot of middle companies that are in the business of transferring goods, and that's where a lot of the interdictions occur, and the sale is thwarted at that point.
Sometimes the trade is between companies and governments, and sometimes it's just a worker who obtains a scrap of radioactive strontium and cesium and tries to cash in. Most of the seizures have been small amounts of material. Governments rely on several international organizations to track weapons. The hardest to detect are ingredients and tools for chemical and biological weapons. Chemist Barbara Siders, also from the Pacific Northwest Lab, advised the UN on chemical weapons. She says things like fermenting vessels or bacterial growth media are everywhere, from breweries to college laboratories, as well as in weapons labs. She says Iraq could have rebuilt its arsenal without leaving an international trail, for example, by using different ingredients.
There certainly are chemicals and pieces of equipment that have very few uses other than for the development of agents. But the problem is the folks who are doing this development, they know that as well. And there's nothing that would keep a belligerent from looking for an alternative path.
Or they could cook up something new. For example, Sider says inspectors during the 1990s were surprised to discover that Iraq had tried to weaponize aflatoxin, which comes from a fungus. Elisa Harris monitored chemical and biological weapons for the White House National Security Council during the 1990s. She's now at the University of Maryland. She says the weapons trade has found new roots.
The interesting trend we've seen over the last decade or so is a shift from the U.S. and various European companies being the primary suppliers to other countries like China, Russia, India, Pakistan, their companies.
Those trades, she says, are harder to track. These experts say watching international trade is useful, but it's no substitute for sending inspectors into the country. They say Iraq has long had the know-how and materials for a homegrown chemical and biological arsenal. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Washington.